This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Time now for Mego and Shime on WEEI.
Alex has been asked a couple of times about, you know, possibly you playing first base. Is that something you're open to if they ask?
Yeah, no. They had the conversation with me. I don't think, me personally, it's the best decision after, you know, they asked me to play a different position, and I don't even have 2 months playing this position to all of a sudden have me try to play another position. So from my end, it doesn't seem like a good decision.
Woo! Mego and Shime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI, coming out hot with some big X to play.
Okay,
huh?
I was quite nervous because I gave Zach the order, really, to play that song,
request.
A clean version, about 30 seconds ago when it started. I was like, fingers crossed, he got it.
I heard the first half of the word, and my heart immediately dropped for Zach. I'm like, oh, no, here we go. Good start.
Rapping's back on it, though.
Zach's
back
ready to
on
go.
His BS.
Oh, man. This guy, I swear to goodness, that was the translator for Rafael Devers when asked about being asked to play first base. I just don't get it with this guy. It is constantly whiny baby, woe is me. Oh no, I can't play. I want to play third base. I'm a third baseman. I'm not a DH. Then I play DH and I finally get my bat going.
It's like working with somebody in sports radio. He's perfectly suited to it. He's such a whiny crybaby. He sounds like a jerk.
He sounds like a dope.
He sounds like a dope and a jerk. And I just want to say, like, I'm coming in super hot this morning.
Yeah, love it.
I've had two energy drinks. I'm very anxious about the state of the NBA right now, including the Celtics.
Is that why you had so much caffeine?
And, because I know we're going to be on for 4 hours today, mm-hmm. and I was listening to a lot of DMX driving over here.
Oh, nice.
So
okay, DMX rejoin next,
it's
Zach?
It's going to be a certain kind of mood from me today. These Raffy comments are the type where you're doing something else, you open up whatever social media app, and you see him popping off. You got Jen McCaffrey from The Athletic / New York Times, who's so reputable, mm-hmm. tweeting these out. And you're like, I know it's Jen McCaffrey, but is this real?
Yeah,
is he really saying this?
Agreed.
And in the days since, I don't think it's looked any better from either side,
no.
Whether Rafael Devers or the Red Sox, who you're siding with more. Like, it is, since spring training now, just been a dumpster fire with this guy.
And now John Henry, Sam Kennedy, and Craig Breslow have to fly out to see him and talk to him.
It's like
and
an
John
intervention.
Henry, I got to give credit where credit is due. John Henry, who has done nothing but post an Instagram photo of him smoking a cigar in the last, like, calendar year, flies out to talk to Rafael Devers about this situation. Is insane to me. This is like one of the bigger like player debacles we've seen from the Boston Red Sox in a very long time. I cannot, there was a time where people were anti-John Lackey, anti-David Price. But Rafael Devers is, I feel like, starting to put himself on a whole nother stratosphere. Because on top of fans, a lot of fans, not liking him and not liking this attitude, I can't imagine this is going over well in the clubhouse either.
So, I don't know what the perspective from the clubhouse would be right now. And we're going to talk to Sean McAdam in a couple hours yep. from Mass Live, longtime Red Sox reporter and columnist. And I think he'll be able to give us a better temperature of the clubhouse.
Sure.
From spring training to where we are now and who Rafi's been there day to day. But I just think I've kind of said this before, and I'm certainly feeling it double down now. I'm so over this guy.
Same.
I'm so over Devers. And the worst part about this is now, like, for Red Sox fans who were checking back in with this team, because they looked at the payroll, they looked at what John Henry did with his stupid smoking cigar pictures and everything.
We're so back.
They're like, okay, we're back. All right. They're spending money. They're bringing in, they're buying free agents. They're bringing the kids up. Like, they paid Cora last year. A lot of Red Sox fans, I know it's like less popular right now, but a lot of Red Sox fans are very fond of Cora, and he's respected throughout the major leagues. So everybody is bought in. And then this crap makes you go back and go, you really have Mookie Betts out there with the Dodgers. And I know Xander is not really playable anymore, but the way that he left a lot of fans kind of shell-shocked and upset throughout that entire season. And this is the guy you stuck with. And you're paying him over $300 million, and you trot around that contract. Like, look, guys, for years you trot around that contract because you were basically hogtied by how bad you were for a couple seasons and the bad contracts and decisions that you were having with Chaim Bloom. So you go, look, 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 we paid Rafael Devers. Aren't you guys happy? And now this is what you get back. This is the face of the Red Sox. Like, they might want Alex Bregman to be the face of the Red Sox. They might want Garrett Crochet, the good guys, the guys who are like, I'm just here to win. I'm just happy to be with the Red Sox right now. I love playing at Fenway Park. That's who they want to be the face of the Red Sox. Rafael Devers is the face of the Red Sox. And the face of the Red Sox is bratty. It is entitled. And it is overpaid. That's what it looks like right now.
I couldn't agree more. And it seems like it's becoming apparent that, I mean, you brought up Mookie Betts. You look at what he's done with the Dodgers, even with his massive contract. He's like, oh, you need me to play second today? Sure, I'd be happy to. I can play anywhere in the outfield. I'm Mookie Betts. That's fine. And so many different players over so many different years and so many different teams have all switched positions. Guys always do it. Christian Campbell's been playing outfield here and there for this team. He's a second baseman.
Oh, well, did you hear Rafi's worried that next thing they're going to ask him to play outfield? Come on.
That's when I knew we had officially jumped the shark.
Like, anybody wants to see that moose running around in the outfield? Slope, Mega. Get out of here.
Slippery slope, you know? Next thing you know, I'm going to have to go play the outfield. Nope, Rafi, I don't think anybody's going to ever ask you to do that. And in a normal situation, you would never have been asked to play first base because Tristan Casas would be there all year. But unfortunately, he suffered a gruesome injury that could not be predicted, could not be foretold. And could you criticize the Red Sox for not having a better backup plan at first base? Sure. Absolutely. I think that's totally in play. However, you don't need to. Craig Breslow came on the Greg Hill Show on Thursday, as him or Sam Kennedy do every Thursday for the front office report at 9 a.m. And when asked about if he had talked to Devers about playing first base, Craig's answer was, I would like to keep all those conversations in-house. Like, me and Rafi talk all the time. We'll keep what we talk about in-house. I'm not going to bring that up. Okay, fine. Good answer. Whatever. Devers the next day, or actually later that day, immediately comes out and goes, yeah, no, I don't want to play first base. The GM doesn't know what he's doing. He came to me. He's like, yeah, Rafi, is there any chance you can play first base? And just immediately puts him on blast. Like, there is some massive disconnect. And you brought up the perfect word, entitled. Mike Vrabel's trying to take entitlement out of Foxborough. Like, Craig Breslow and Alex Cora need to remove all entitlement out of Fenway Park, because Rafael Devers is the definition of it with how he's reacted to this.
And I know we're going to we're going to talk about this further, and we see you guys lining up on the phones, because I just, we, neither of us have really gotten to weigh in on this very much. And it's just, I'm sorry. It's a juicy conversation. It is so juicy because it really goes back to spring training. And I think that's what this relates to. I don't think it's about the position. I don't think it's about first base. Nope. I don't think it's about anything having really to do with the GM. I think, like, I don't think it's personal against Craig Breslow. I think it's Devers saying, you took me off third base, where I suck, by the way, but you took me off third base.
And by the way,
Bregman.
Bregman's play yesterday is why we took him off of third base.
Yes.
Throwing out a guy from basically the outfield.
From Devers' perspective, it's, you took me off third base. You didn't even tell me when you were bringing Bregman in. You didn't have a conversation with me, your star player, your highest paid player, your franchise player. You didn't tell me. And so now you make me designated hitter, and now because Tristan Casas, who I have to imagine is another giant pain in the ass clubhouse all this season, is injured and taken off to the hospital and everybody feels bad. But guess what? That's not in my job description. I've never played first base. I'm not good enough for you guys to play third base, so don't ask me to play first base. I'll be over here focusing on the offense because you want me to be the next big poppy. And I think that that is really his attitude. And I think
it
sucks. I think it sucks. I think entitled is the only way to describe it. And we'll hear perspectives later on in the show about how the Red Sox have screwed this up, because they certainly don't come out of this looking flawless or like a professionally immaculately run operation. But from Devers' perspective, you are getting paid $27 million in your base salary this year. And you spent the last couple of months just hitting the ball. That's all they've asked you to do. Now the team needs help, and you stick your nose up in there and say, not in my job description. What is that? How do you think that's going to be received?
And not only did he say it's not in my job description,
and
Zach, if you have it.
Why don't you figure out your job description,
He
Craig.
Told Craig to go do his job. This was Rafael Devers talking about Craig Breslow from that same press conference.
Yeah, you know, they put me in this situation, and you know, they told me that they didn't want to allow me to play any other position, and now, you know, I think it's they should do their jobs essentially, and hit the market and look for another player. I'm not sure why they want me to be in between the way they have me now.
It's just remarkable.
Hit the market.
That's not my job. You go do your job and hit the market.
Craig, why don't you get out there and sell some Girl Scout cookies in front of Shaw's Star Market? Maybe you can raise some funds to go get yourself a professional first baseman. Because I'm over here counting my $27 million, and I'd rather sit in the dugout while the team's playing defense.
This guy is
chewing some
such
bubble gum.
A baby. This guy, I understand sometimes it can be frustrating. And I bet there have been players that have been moved positions that were probably not thrilled about it, weren't super happy about it.
Xander Bogaerts brought in Trevor Story to replace him at shortstop.
And when he started his career, had to move to third base.
And said, please, can I please still be part of the Red Sox?
Yeah. And it's just, and like, if you even look back at Kyle Schwarber, had to move from outfield to first base. And he wasn't that good at it. But you want to know something? Everybody loved him for it. Because you want to know what you were doing? You were sacrificing for the betterment of the team, because we want your bat in the lineup. And we're trying to find the best way to configure that to make the best hitting lineup we possibly can, and that requires you to play first base to the best of your ability.
Hey, Craig, hit the bricks. Why don't you go walk, find yourself a first baseman?
What a douchey answer that is.
It is so bad.
Oh my God, it's so, so bad. 617-779-7937. People already lining up. Let's get to some calls right away, Mego, because this is a hot button topic. Let's go to Ronnie and Lynn wants to talk about Devers. Go ahead, Ronnie.
Hey, how you doing, Sean?
Good. What's up, brother?
I just have a question. You guys are saying that there is a big baby because X, Y, and Z. But don't you think that Red Sox could have done it better by, like, supposedly he's just an all-star player. He's a superstar. Why don't you put him aside before the season starts, before you get Bregman, and say, hey, look, we're thinking about this and that in the third, blah, blah, blah. We can get you some game at third, but not the way they did it. Just saying, like, pretty much put your glove away. You suck. We're not going to play you anyway. And now they say, hey, you know what? We actually need you off first. Why don't you? No, I think Devers is. I don't like the situation, but I'm not going to take the team side on this matter, because it just, the Red Sox didn't know how to handle it the proper way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. I get you, Ronnie, and I appreciate the call. Yeah, so, like, look, I think Devers has a right to be frustrated with the team. The team has not been the best communicators in this entire process. I totally agree with that. However, that doesn't mean you need to go out to the media, air out your GM, and, oh, by the way, completely go just shoot over the, like, completely miss the fact that your head coach is the one who really wanted to bring Alex Bregman in, the guy who took your original position. Cora doesn't get any of the blame here. It goes directly to Craig Breslow, apparently, according to Rafael Devers. And, like, that doesn't need to be brought out in the media. You can have a private meeting with Cora and Breslow and be like, look, guys, this is not for me. And you can air out that frustration with them. But as soon as you turn into a big baby and start whining to the media, when even your GM won't talk about it in public, that's when it becomes a major issue because you look like a terrible teammate and an entitled, spoiled brat.
I agree. And I think Ronnie has a point there.
Sure.
Where, yes, we said this back when we were discussing his comments in spring training about no, he's not moving off third base. He's not going to be designated hitter. At that time, we said, yeah, it was a major fail by the Red Sox that they didn't go to their star player before signing Bregman, when we knew we had Rob Bradford saying for months that they were looking at bringing in Bregman, and sure, we all know the position that he plays, and we all know his history with Cora. And so for them not to just sit down with Rafi and say, this is what we see, we see you as the DH now because we're bringing this guy in, that is a total miss by the organization. That is a failure by the organization. I totally agree with that. That was months ago at this point. And it sounds to me like the player is still sore over it.
Oh,
I think this
it
all goes back to that. It all goes back to him feeling like the franchise doesn't care about him enough. When things change on a dime, they need to go to him first. They need to talk through everything with him. They need to make sure that it's cleared with him. And he's just not going to budge.
And it's just, but it's so weird that, like, he, last year, he's like, we need help. We need better players. So what do the Red Sox do in the offseason? They go and get better players. They get Garrett Crochet, and they happen to get a guy who plays third base better than him in Alex Bregman. And they're like,
hey. He said he wanted better players around him.
Yeah, and so that's the issue.
Because everything revolves around Rafi.
He wants it his way and not the way the Red Sox want to do it. He wants it his way or the highway. And now he's pissed that the Sox are doing this without consulting him and making him basically a de facto GM, which is insane to me. He has done nothing to deserve that kind of rapport with a GM who has promised him nothing and a head coach who seems like he's babying him. Like, Alex Cora, even in the preseason, said, oh yeah, nobody promised him third base. The guy who promised him that is in St. Louis
right now.
So I don't know, like, what he thinks he's entitled to, but none of us have promised him anything. And yet he's just, like, he just feels like he is so entitled to being a part of the front office and deciding. Tristan Casas was like making lineup comments earlier in the preseason. Clearly, Rafael Devers wanted to do the same thing. Like, that's what this seems like to me. And that is a terrible, terrible thing for your locker or your clubhouse.
And on top of that, for years, Core has given up on this now.
Yeah.
But for years, he would say, yeah, we need Rafi to grow into this leader. Yep. Okay, Mookie's gone. Okay, then Xander's gone. Now the spotlight's on him. He can't be the young guy anymore. He can't play the young guy card. He's the leader of this team. He's the highest paid player. He's the most talented hitter. We need him to be the leader in the clubhouse. Never able to do it.
No.
When have we ever heard about Devers calling a team meeting? He gave freaking Alex Verdugo trying to step into that role because Devers won't do it.
One of the whole reasons we brought in Bregman, because he's somebody who knew how to win and lead. And, like, and Rafael Devers couldn't do it. They were tired of asking him to try and do it. And it's just, it's becoming so frustrating to hear this guy talk every single time. Because he just sounds like a baby. 617-779-7937. It's Mego and Shime here on WEEI. Full four-hour program today. Absolute marathon for us. We'll be talking more Rafael Devers coming up. I want to get into my lead yesterday morning was that the Red Sox should trade Rafael Devers. I want to get Mego's thoughts on that. We'll discuss that. We'll discuss Alex Cora, his role in all of this, kind of how you feel about him now. We'll take all your phone calls. We'll get into the Celtics. I mean, look, Game 3, must win for your Boston Celtics in New York against the Knicks today. Tip-off for that is 3:30 today, correct, Mego?
Yes. 3:30. Well, in 3:30 in NBA timing, which probably means like 3:42.
Perfect. 3:42 tip off for your Boston Celtics. We'll get into all that. We'll be joined by Justin Turpin in the 12 o'clock hour. Sean McAdam joins us in the 1 o'clock hour. Full jam-packed show ahead, but right now, Zach is going to get you caught up with what is trending.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox fall back to 500 after a 2-1 extra innings loss in Kansas City last night. Hunter Dobbins gets the start, going six innings, allowing five hits, striking out six. A Rafael Devers RBI ground out in the 11th accounted for the lone source of offense for the Sox. They'll look to bounce back tonight when Garrett Crochet takes the mound opposite Royals ace Cole Reagans. You can hear coverage of that one right here on WEEI and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Joe Weil getting you started at 6:10 on the MassMutual pregame show. Then Will Fleming and Lenny DiNardo of the call of the game. First pitch from Kauffman Stadium set for 7:10. Celtics looking to climb back into their second round series against the Knicks this afternoon. They'll head to Madison Square Garden for game three. Only one injury to report on the C's side. They list Sam Hauser as doubtful. Tip off in game three from MSG set for 3:30. Elsewhere in the NBA, the Cavs cut the Pacers series lead in half with a 126-104 win in Indiana, and the Nuggets taking a 2-1 series lead over the top-seeded Thunder with a 113-104 win in Denver. Over in the NHL, Brad Marchand netting the overtime winner for Florida as they beat the Maple Leafs 5-4. Toronto now leads that series 2-1, and the Jets get a big win at home 4-0 to even up their series with the Dallas Stars at one game apiece. Over in the NFL, Saints quarterback Derek Carr has announced his retirement after 11 NFL seasons. Carr was set to miss some time this year with a shoulder injury. Trending now brought to you by MassMutual. Don't forget to tune in to the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show tonight at 6:10. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Mego and Scheim coming up after this.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Now, more of Mego and Sean on WEEI.
I think he's going to get traded. You have to remember that Craig Breslow did not sign off on the Rafael Devers extension. And I think that he is going to piss off Rafael Devers to the point where he says, well, he's a $300 million DH. Do you know how much I could get for him for a team that would love to have him back at third base for the next several years before he really becomes a DH? Here, we don't need him. We got young guys coming up the pipeline. I can get older guys rest. I don't need to pay a designated hitter $300 million.
Oh, man. This makes me miss Xander. This is his walk-up song.
That's great. Okay. DMX is one of the more underappreciated artists of our time.
R.I.P. Best DMX song.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
It's so stupid.
It was so good. I love when he barks during Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
I mean, I love when he barks ever.
True.
But I think Party Up in Here is still,
still
my favorite DMX.
Classic.
All DMX is great. I think DMX needs to be brought back as more stadium music. I'm very passionate about stadium and arena music.
Yeah.
And I think we've been neglecting DMX.
I do too. I think we have strayed too much into either one of two things. It's either like classic rock or current pop. There's no kind of in the middle, and I think DMX needs to be reintroduced a little bit more.
See,
I need more LMFAO back. I need more DMX. The greatest Christmas song of all time.
Never heard this.
You've never heard this?
No, I love it, though.
I play it every year.
Again, R.I.P. to a great artist.
Wait, DMX is no longer with us?
You don't know this?
I might have missed this part.
Oh, my God. He died like 3 or 4 years ago.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's sad.
I know.
No,
very
really.
Sad.
Now I'm depressed.
That's why I'm saying we need to pay more respect to DMX at our sporting events.
I agree. Yeah.
But I agree with you.
Oh, yeah.
I also
2021.
I know I'm old now because, just quick aside.
Sure.
The warm-up mixes for the Patriots for the last several seasons have just been horrible.
Yes.
I know the team picks it out and the players want what pumps them up. It is so bad. It sounds like robots on cough syrup. Like, that's what all the songs on there. It's like, I was on. It's that Weekend crap.
Ooh.
Like, I was on my cell phone.
Almost like they emo hip hop rap.
Yes. It's so bad. I'm like, how
I
is
do
this
love Juice
pumping
World,
you up?
Though. I am a Juice World guy.
Okay. I'm like, how is this
Rest
exciting?
Rest in peace as well.
Like, I love classic rock. I love 90s hip hop. I love a little bit of everything. I want a mix of everything.
Well, so
that
now
warm up music is bad. It's awful.
By the standard of the song you requested as our intro song back on My BS by Big X the Plug, we should hopefully get some Big X the Plug in the warm up music this year, right? I would hope so. I don't know. He's just a really popular guy. His song, The Big, is that the name of the song? Big. Is super popular on TikTok and everywhere. So I don't know.
The biggest, the largest.
Yes, that one. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I like him because he's got like I like pump up rap.
He's great.
That's what I work out.
He also seems like he has a great personality and like a great attitude.
Probably because he's from Texas. Like the best people are from Texas.
Luke
Cornett.
Is he Texas?
He's the Texas guy, yeah.
Can I be honest? I've never actually heard him speak. Does he have a Texas, like a Southern accent?
No, he doesn't. Which I also like, because I'm like, you're not trying to like fake something.
Yeah, you're not trying to be something you're not, but you are from Texas. Respect.
Anyway, Devers, not from Texas.
Yeah, Devers
probably
is a jerk.
Big part of his problem. He probably likes that boring rap.
I don't even know that. Yeah, maybe.
He might be too old for it now.
Yeah, probably. He might be. But at the same time, like, it's just, yeah, he clearly, I bet he, I wouldn't love his taste in music, I bet. And I love, and that's not to say like bad Latin music. I love a lot of Latin music, but I just feel like he has bad, because he probably is just like very sad boy music.
And, sad boy? Why? Because he feels bad for himself, because he's entitled brat.
Exactly.
And I think we should get back on that point, because I'm tired of his BS. And you hear Chris Rose there at the top of our little segment here.
Yep.
From Talking Baseball, he thinks that the Red Sox should just straight up trade him.
And so that was my lead yesterday morning on the Greg Hill Show. As soon as I read the comments and saw that they were legit and heard them from Rafael Devers, my immediate reaction was, I am just deal his ass to anybody. I don't care. Take any deal you can get. Get any first baseman and bullpen arm you can. I think Jones and Keefe had mentioned like Rhys Hoskins and a bullpen arm. Sure, fine, whatever. Don't care. Send him to outer space. Don't care. Get what you can. I'm just so over it with a guy like this. And for a team that I really like, there's a lot of players on this team I love. Like, Bregman is awesome. Garrett Crochet is awesome. Sidan Rafaela, although he has struggled at the plate, has been phenomenal in the field, and he's just like, he's somebody you can get behind. And all I want to see is us start to incorporate Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony. And I'm like, I'm having fun with this Red Sox team, and Rafael Devers is kind of cramping my style.
He's like a Debbie Downer.
Big time. He is
a Devers Downer.
Have you ever seen the show What We Do in the Shadows?
No, but my friend has been telling me to watch it for months.
He's an energy vampire. Okay. Every room he goes in, he just sucks the life out of the room. That's what he's turning into. And I don't want that. Like, I thought that was just Tristan Cassis. And normally, like, one guy, okay, like,
Tristan Cassis
fine.
Is more like the guy at the party that you don't want to get into a conversation with.
Yeah, because he gets way too, like, hypothetical and, like, thinks he's
like,
smarter than everybody
like,
else.
He's like, man, do you know the universe is expanding every day? And yeah. You're like, ugh.
Have you ever really just sat outside
TV?
In the park and gathered in the sun's
he's
energy?
He's like, did you know that the Japanese have a concept of forest bathing? And you're like, can we just talk about TV?
Can we just talk about, like, I don't know, the Patriots draft? Like, it's something simple.
All right, man, I'm going to go get another beer now. See you later.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I'm going to...
Does anyone know where the bathroom is?
It's nice talking to you, Tristan. I got to go. I think somebody's calling name.
You're like, oh, Ken, have you met Tristan? You guys would hit it off.
Oh, yeah, I think you guys would get along great. I'm going to leave now. I'm going to exit this conversation, see my way out. But it's just, Devers, he comes off entitled and spoiled and bratty, and it's infuriating. And so I personally would deal him. Would you trade Rafael Devers today?
I am closer than I've ever been.
Interesting. Okay.
My hesitation is that you've built so much of this team on your offensive firepower. And how much of that are you losing with Devers? But I do think, like, it would be the biggest statement, especially if you get Cora behind it. Because there's this thing that Cora has. Cora has his guys.
Yep.
Cora
sure
has his guys. He connects extremely well with the clubhouse. I like Cora.
I do too.
I think people jump on him too quickly as the cause for dysfunction. In the team, whenever something's going wrong, it's always Cora this. Why can't Cora do that? Why can Cora only win one World Series? Why does mm-hmm. Cora have to have a stacked roster?
Why does he have to cheat to win?
Yeah, we've heard all of it.
Yep.
I do think Cora has his favorites. And I think Kike was a favorite.
Yep.
And they moved on from him. And I think that was a good look because Kike was also a brat. And I think that Raffy's a bit of a favorite. I think he has a soft spot for Raffy at times. And he has to stand up and say, Raffy's going to do the right thing. Raffy's going to do this. He's going to do that. I think to just clean slate it and move on would be a good look for Cora. I think it would be a great look for Craig Breslow because Craig Breslow can turn and say, respectfully, don't tell me how to do my job as GM.
100%.
This is how I do my job. I get rid of somebody who's become a giant distraction in the locker room and won't move on to where we actually need him to be temporarily. Raffy, we're not asking you to do this for years going forward.
Doesn't this seem like the Matthew Judon situation on a bigger scale from last year's New England Patriots team, where like Judon was openly being
insubordinate,
and it took the New England Patriots a while to deal him and actually get something for him. Whereas if the Red Sox,
it was the only good move that they made in that offseason.
It was, but if the Red Sox saw that and are like, yeah, we don't want to do the same thing. We don't want to drag this out. We don't want to create chaos in our clubhouse. We don't want to create any kind of division. We just need to take care of this immediately. Wouldn't it behoove them to just do a deal this weekend? Like, get it done, move on, move quickly, and be like, look, we're not going to do that here. That's not how we run our operation. We are a team first program. If you can't help the team, if you aren't willing to help the team in any way possible, we don't want you here. Bye.
I think it's just it's two strikes at this point.
Yeah.
It's really two strikes with Raffy. Like, and so
do you get a third?
Some people might look at it and say, give him one more chance. Maybe he gets heated. We know he can be a bit of a hothead. We see it in the broadcast when he's swearing at himself in like going to bat. We see it. We know that. Maybe give him another chance. I'm just over it. Like, I've been over it for years, honestly. So for me, I'm just kind of like, okay, I feel like this has all come to light now. He's not the kind of guy who's ever going to be a leader in the clubhouse. He can't lead by example. He's inflexible for the team, and he takes everything so personally.
Yep.
Like, not to go off on I'm on a Celtics tangent, but I will say the polar opposite of this is somebody like Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday was the only guy who won a ring when that Celtics team was going for the championship last year, and he took a backseat any moment that they asked him to. And then when they said, Drew, we need you to be awesome in the playoffs, we need you to be available, we need you to be the elite perimeter defender that everyone talks about you as, he said, sure, okay, I'm going to do it. He is a consummate professional. He's the kind of guy who's like, wherever you want me, I've got an amazing pedigree. I'm the only guy who has actually won anything, but I will go and do whatever you ask, and I'm just professional, and I'm not taking it personally. Raffy's the opposite.
Complete opposite.
Raffy's, everything's about me. Why don't they talk to me? I'm the face of the franchise. I play third base. I have a lot of pride. Okay, now I'm a designated hitter. I'm not taking Poppy's calls. Whatever, I guess I'll talk to Poppy now. Oh, now you need me to play first base. I don't want to do that. Why don't you go do your job? It's just gross.
It's infuriating. And two, I think it was a great point Jones made yesterday. He had talked about how he had done TV the night before, and they brought over somebody from Telemundo, and they said, like, listening to the actual answers Rafi gave in Spanish, that the translator was sugarcoating a little bit what Rafi was saying,
because there are these
and the
babies.
Tone wasn't coming across very well.
There are these babies on, I've seen them on social media, but I'm sure they walk amongst us,
sure,
who said the translator isn't saying it right.
Nope, I think he's actually helping Rafi as much as he can.
The translator, you don't know, like, the Red Sox translators, something's getting literally lost in translation with Rafi, so it's not that bad. Guys, Rafi has been here for like a decade at this point. He knows what they're asking.
Absolutely.
I understand, like, he's in a professional setting, so he doesn't want to say the wrong thing in English. It's a second language, just incredibly challenging. I don't speak a second language, so I can only imagine being in a professional public setting where then you have to communicate that way. So I understand why he still uses the translator to communicate his thoughts. But if the translator was saying something in English that he thought was misconstruing what he wanted to say, he would signal, hey, no, not that, this.
Exactly.
Like, he would do that. He understands English.
Yep.
He can hear what's being repeated, and he hears the question, and he understands the conversation. I think it's more just from a poise standpoint. And again, I understand that because I don't speak a second language. If somebody, I would say, please let the translator do it myself. But at the same time, don't say the translator is the cause for blame, because as you said, sounds like the translator was trying to smooth things over between both sides.
And a little bit of a tease for you later in the program. I went out, spent my own money. I hired a translator. I hired a different kind of translator to help us really parse through all of the words that Rafi said.
Okay.
And so we'll get to that later in the program. I'm excited to hear what they have to say. That'll be good. 617-779-7937 is the phone number if you want to weigh in on Rafael Devers, the Boston Red Sox. Would you trade Rafael Devers? Let's go to Bob in Londonderry. He wants to talk about the Sox. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, guys. Enjoy the show. You know, I and a lot of other people have a little bit different perspective on this whole thing, starting with Cora, meaning, you know, pretend you have a niece or a nephew who plays sports. Then come up to Uncle Shine. You and Mom and Dad told us, you know, we're supposed to do everything correctly and blah, blah, blah. And they ask you, how come the manager of the Red Sox got caught cheating and there was no ramifications other than a slight slap on the wrist? How come he got away with that? Then you got this guy, Devers. Arguably, I'm telling what you people said. He showed up for training camp completely out of shape. We didn't really say much about that. And you dancing around the issue. The guy's here becoming a trillionaire. He doesn't even speak English. No, he doesn't even expect it to even attempt to do it. And everybody thinks it's great. But I think the Red Sox are in a lot of trouble, and it goes further than just Devers. And to keep asking him, all due respect, to change positions, I might get tired of that, regardless of the way you look at it. And I don't even like the guy.
All right, Bob, thanks for the call. Yeah, I don't agree with everything Bob said, but, like, I get it. I understand being frustrated about being asked to play first base. I get that. I that's not what I have an issue with. What I have an issue with is you being so Rafi first and, like, almost like anti-team first, and on top of it, going out and airing out your front office to the media when you're – your GM literally that morning had said, yeah, I would like to keep any conversations that I have with Rafi private. Like, what does that accomplish by putting him on blast like that? It just makes, like, you look like a douche. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, look, it would be like if somebody called out sick and your boss called you and said, hey, I know it's short notice and this is not what you usually do. Can you please come in and fill in this shift? And you said, why don't you go figure it out?
Yep.
It's your job, not mine, to do that. That's what he's doing, but on a much bigger scale with probably way more money than any of us can ever dream about involved.
Yeah.
Again, $27 million this year. And he says, disrespectfully, I would like to focus on my hitting. You should focus on doing your job, which is going out and buying a real first baseman. Now, there is an aspect to this where Raffy might feel like it's embarrassing for him to go to first base because he won't be good at it. There is an aspect of it where he's like, I haven't even been taking any reps at anywhere in the field. I've just been focused on offense, and you're putting me in a bad spot where now I'm going to look like a doofus at first base, and it's going to make me look bad. But whatever. Then at the end of the day, he can say, I'm just trying to do whatever I can, and this is not my natural position, but I'm trying to work at it.
Let's get
He just doesn't even think about that.
Let's continue with that thought next year. 617-779-7937. The phone lines are full. We'll get to all of you. Talking Rafael Devers next here on Mego and Shime on Boston Sports Original WEEI.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Mego and Shime on WEEI.
Mego and Shime here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Let's get right into all of these Devers calls. We see you there. We want to get to all of you. So let's start with Tom in Framingham on Rafael Devers. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, how are you guys? Good morning. Shime, I agree with you 100%. I think he can go anywhere else, but not this team. I think that you talked on the production of the offense. I think that either way, anybody else, I don't care if it's the worst player in the league, I think that you bring in anybody else, and I think that overall, that the team's offensive production will increase. I also think that if you were to ask, any other player on the team. Tristan Casas is out. I guarantee you that anybody else on that team would step up to the plate and say, you know what, I'm going to give it a shot because it's for the progress of the team.
All right, Tom, thanks for the call. Yeah, look, I do agree with Mego that if you did trade Rafael Devers tomorrow, like there would be, not significant, but there would be some offensive production fall off. Like, Rafael Devers, to his credit, has been hitting the ball really well after the first, 2 weeks of the season. Alex Cora has said that now multiple times. Like, I think he's hitting .285 since the second week of the season, something along those lines. So Rafael Devers, to his credit, has been hitting well, but to get that attitude and that entitlement out of the clubhouse, I am totally okay with losing some of that production.
I've been trying to look this up because I don't readily have this available. Is there any kind of punishment, anything that they had to eat by trading him?
I mean, to get a deal done, you may have to eat some of the contract, sure, but it's not like... For the Boston Red Sox, I don't think it would be all that punitive, to be completely honest.
Okay, because that's really
would be
the biggest thing to me is can you make up some of the offensive production that he would provide for you? You can probably find something to work around it this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then going forward, either you have these young guys coming up or you add another free agent, you make something work. I don't think that Rafael Devers is the kind of player who's completely irreplaceable.
No.
He's not a generational player. He's not Shohei Ohtani. Oh. I'm sorry. I think he's a great hitter, but I don't think he's Ortiz.
He's not even Aaron Judge.
Right. Again, Aaron Judge I'd consider a generational player.
Sure, exactly.
So he's
but just say as a contemporary.
Slightly in a tier slightly below that. I think when he signed his contract, a lot of us were very happy because one, we felt like, okay, this is the Red Sox actually being proactive with one of the players that they brought up and developed instead of just letting them walk for nothing or trading them. And then the other side was he was a young guy still. And he's 28 years old now. He's already designated hitter and won't play first base. So what kind of future does that give you on this 10-year contract? Who do you think Rafael Devers is going to be in 3 years? Do you think he's going to be better than he's been this season and last season? Or do you think there's going to be more of a fall off? So, like, I'm really just talking myself into maybe this is a reason for you to sell kind of high and say he's still a great player. We just have baggage in our clubhouse and it doesn't work for us here anymore. But change of scenery for him is going to be perfect for you guys, whoever you trade him to.
And I think it's interesting you bring that up because I saw a text earlier that said you'd be selling at an all-time low. And I disagree. He's hitting well enough where you'd be selling at a relative high. Like, yeah, it's all just attitude stuff from your perspective. And so if a team feels like them bringing him in, they're just going to play him at DH, those attitude issues aren't going to be a problem, then for them, it's absolutely worth it because they're upgrading whatever bat they currently have. Let's go to George in Andover wants to talk. Devers, go ahead, George.
Hello. You know, I have been a listener for a long time and a baseball fan for just as long. We in the fans and you on talk radio have spent the last 4 years criticizing ownership and now Breslow. But now all of a sudden Breslow is not to blame. He's in fact your hero for not paying enough money, for not making enough good signings or trades. We become famous for trading people to the Dodgers and other places.
Well, George, I don't think
bad
we ever
signings, bad trades. Let me say to Rafi Devers, only thing I hear on talk radio is the first part of a compound sentence. He said, "I don't want to play first base. The general manager should go out and get a first baseman." The person we're missing is not only the first baseman, he was the number four hitter on the team in spite of his performance. So Rafi Devers is actually defending Cora against 4 years of psych ops against Cora and the team, which results in 81-81 numbers. Which
okay, George, thanks for the call. So nobody has said Craig Breslow's our hero.
Actually, psych ops.
Yeah, I don't.
Is that like Stranger Things?
No, I think that's more like Tom Clancy.
Ooh,
yeah.
Okay.
But look, nobody has said Craig Breslow's a hero. I think Meg and I started off the show saying, like, the Red Sox could have been more prepared at first base in the event that Tristan Casas got hurt. They weren't, so they had to try and adjust. Like, I think Craig Breslow could have handled it better. I think Alex Cora absolutely could have handled this situation better. And Rafael Devers 100% could have handled this situation better. Like, I think everybody deserves some blame pie here, but Rafael Devers looks and comes off like the biggest baby of the three.
Yeah, I just think that when somebody publicly says something, you should be able to hold that against them.
Yeah.
Trust me.
100%.
I've felt it many times over in this walk of life. I hate what he said. I hate the sentiment behind it. I hate that it's the second time that we've been through this with him since spring training. And I think it's just showing who he really is, how he sees himself with this team. And I don't think that's going to change. I don't think that's going to get better. I don't think he's a Tiger who's going to change his stripes suddenly when he's making over $300 million a year.
And Craig Breslow could have called him out on our show that morning. Curtis gave him the opportunity, asked if he had spoke to Rafael Devers, and he said, to be honest with you, any conversations I've had or will have with Rafael Devers, I'd like to keep in-house. And then not a few hours later, Rafael Devers comes out and just tries to air him out and blame Craig Breslow for all of this. So 617-779-7937. We'll continue talking some Rafi here on the program, but we also need to get into the Boston Celtics. Game 3 against the Knicks in the Eastern Conference semifinals is this afternoon at 3:30. Mego has been anxious about it all morning, so we'll get into some Celtics talk too here in the second hour of Mego and Shime on WEEI.